Hare Krishna, everyone. Thank you for coming for this program. And at the moment, I'm in Serbia with my mother. And this is a broadcast from my brother's place, which is not where I'm staying. So today, we speak about beautiful mind gardeners. So some time ago, some devotees from Slovenia and I, we decided to form a WhatsApp group and a Facebook group called Beautiful Mind Gardeners. And the first idea was to start Beautiful Mind Institute. And maybe in the future, we will make this. I wanted that this starts, that this is in Slovenia, that this institute is started in Slovenia, but let's see if it will be it will be international institute, so it doesn't have to be in Slovenia, it can be in some other country. Since the mind is such an important instrument, so I thought it would be very valuable to help people to develop a beautiful mind. And this is kind of a, this was our first mission statement: help ourselves, helping each other and people in general to develop a beautiful mind. And as you know, in the scriptures, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and all other Vedic literature, and specifically in Srila Prabhupada's books that we are studying, they are a source of our knowledge of Vedic literature. There is so much knowledge about the mind and scientific knowledge about the mind. So today I want to look into the chapter 11 of the Canto 5 of Srimad Bhagavatam. And in chapter 11, Jada Bharata, he instructs King Rahugana about the mind. King Rahugana, by mistake, he has engaged Jada Bharata to carry his palanquin. He didn't know that Jada Bharata was an exalted personality. And Jada Bharata in previous life, he was King Bharata, and he was born first as a deer, one life, and then next life is Jada Bharata. Jada means dull, so he decided to present himself as dull, although he was very exalted. So he also gave like a vow of silence that he will not speak. But when he was carrying the palanquin of Maharaj Rahugana. He couldn't resist. He was so, I would say, triggered by the ignorance of the king that he had to speak and he had to share transcendental knowledge that he possessed for many lifetimes. So we are entering this conversation and this conversation is happening after King Rahugana actually realized that Jada Bharata is an exalted personality and that he is actually his spiritual master, that he is worthy to be his spiritual guide. And he apologized. And there is a very famous verse in these chapters where King Rahugana says, "I'm not afraid to go to hell or to suffer like anything, but I'm afraid of offending a Vaishnava. Because by offending a Vaishnava, we displease the Lord." So he was apologizing. He was very apologetic. And he started to listen. He started to listen to Jada Bharata. And Jada Bharata very nicely, very scientifically, he explained about the mind. So a little bit later, we will look into some of the verses during this class. Where he explains very scientifically, and also in the purports, we will visit some of the statements of Srila Prabhupada in the purports, where he explains how to deal with the mind, how to engage the mind. And as we know, in the Bhagavad Gita, the basic principles of spiritual science are given, and then in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is elaboration, and there is like more expansion of expanded knowledge about different subject matters related to self-realization and God-realization. So similarly, there is expanded knowledge about the mind. And this chapter 11 of Canto 5 expands on some points that are mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita: how to control the mind, how to understand the mind, what is the position of the mind, what is the role of the mind, etc., etc. Now, in our group, and we also, you can visit our page, it's called the Beautiful Mind Gardeners 108. Beautiful Mind Gardeners 108. It's a Facebook group, actually. It's a group that you can join. It's not a page, it's a group. So there we post inspirational quotes and different links, and sometimes we go live and we actually speak about how to develop a beautiful mind. We share many things there. On this group, what we have done in the beginning to inspire ourselves is we have created a list of 127. Originally, we wanted to do 108 because it's a Vedic number. But then some of our members were very fired up to actually make a list longer. So 108 plus qualities of beautiful mind. And you can see that these qualities are actually qualities of pure devotee. So pure mind is a beautiful mind. Spiritual mind is a beautiful mind. Positive mind is a beautiful mind. Grateful mind is a beautiful mind. So if you're interested in this list, you can contact Bhaktin Alexandra Holjevic Potokar from Maribor. She has that list. She is also on Facebook under that name. And she can send you, very gladly, she will send you this list. So our idea was to have seminars, courses, workshops, coaching sessions, one-to-one sessions, devotee success partnership, to have different kinds of venues and ways how we assist people and help each other to develop a beautiful mind. And when one has a beautiful mind, his mind is peaceful, his mind is intelligent, his mind is perfect, we can say. Beautiful mind is a perfect instrument, and beautiful mind is a spiritual mind. It's a perfect instrument that can help us to continue on our journey to self-realization. One of the most important tools that we use is, it's called Devotee Success Partnership Session, DSP session, Devotee Success Partnership Session. Inspiration for this kind of thing has come from something that is called in the professional world peer coaching, where people coach each other. Half session, you are a coach. Half session, you are a client. So to develop a beautiful mind, we need a good association, and we need to develop certain spiritual vision. And I will illustrate these points with some stories, which I believe you like stories. I will explain a little bit. We have a Devotee Success Partnership Guide. And if any one of you is interested to have this, you can also contact Bhaktin Alexandra Holjevic Potokar from Maribor. She's on Facebook. You can contact her and she will send you this DSP guide, Devotee Success Partnership Guide. So we describe how to associate with devotees in a very high quality way. How to spend time. If you spend 1 hour with one devotee, maybe you have a walk or you have a prasadam in Govindas or whatever, wherever you meet, then you can actually get most out of this time if you have a structured conversation and planned association, planned conversation with these devotees, with this devotee. So half session, you are mostly a listener. Half session, you are a talker. And of course, there is a way that you can also go back and forth, but in a very disciplined way where you respect each other's thinking and you don't interrupt each other. That's very important. When we don't interrupt people speaking, we also don't interrupt their thinking. So this is a sign of respect, and this is a sign, this also facilitates their better thinking and the, I would say, engagement of their intelligence also, if we don't interrupt them. Now, interruption is a very common thing. When we speak, we interrupt each other and we want to say something. And usually listening means waiting to speak, waiting until you finish so I can tell you what I think. So, but this kind of listening that we are teaching in our group, and we are practicing actually in our sessions between each other, is a different type of listening. This type of listening is meant to liberate the human mind, to liberate the devotee's mind. So don't listen to respond, but listen to ignite, to stimulate better thinking of a devotee that is in front of you. And now regarding it, first I want to tell a story about how we see people. How do we see people? In order to be, to help each other to develop a beautiful mind, we need to have a certain type of vision. And of course, this is a spiritual vision of a person in front of us, but I want to explain a little bit what it means in practice. So once there was a group of monks living in the mountain, in the monastery, and they were living peacefully, but sometimes they would have some quarrel. They were living during Kali Yuga, age of quarrel, so sometimes they would have some conflict, some misunderstanding. And when they would have this kind of situation, there was a wise man or a sage who was living near the monastery, not in the monastery. Sometimes they would consult him and ask him, what can we do to solve our problems or to achieve our goals? So once when they had a conflict and started quarreling, it was so fierce that, you know, like monks started leaving, and less monks were living in this they left the monastery, and there was basically a crisis. People were leaving, and the leaders of the monastery, the senior monks, they were very much concerned about this. So one of them was sent to invite the sage and to help them to solve the problem. And when sage heard about their situation, he told them only one thing. He told them, one of you is a messiah. So be careful how you deal with each other. I will not tell you who this is, but I will let you think about it and start treating each other with great respect. So they started thinking who this might be. And maybe this one is Messiah. Maybe this one is Messiah. But maybe that one is a Messiah. And they started seeing each other with different eyes. They started respecting each other much more. And gradually the whole atmosphere, because of this one advice, the whole atmosphere changed. They started to rebuild their relationships. They started to have less conflict, and they had much greater respect for each other. So similarly, if we look in the scriptures, we see that Bhagavad Gita says, Ashcharyavat, every soul is amazing. And especially we can say that every devotee is amazing. There is very few people on this planet who want to be devotees. So we need to respect every devotee very much. Sometimes devotees do horrible things, but generally devotees are on the right path. And of course we have to correct when someone does something wrong, but at the same time, we need to help them to continue on that spiritual journey. So if we see each and every devotee with the spiritual eyes, and we see them as the super soul, and we respect them, respect their intelligence, then this can help to improve our relationships and to create a wonderful cooperative atmosphere amongst devotees who can work together to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Now, there is a practical demonstration of this respect, especially in the Devotee Success Partnership Session, and that demonstration is listening with respect and attention, listening to each devotee. This is something that on our group we are practicing a lot, and I myself also, I'm not only in a role of a coach, I'm also in a role of a client, and there is actually, the coach is called thinking partner, and the client is called a thinker. So if you're a client, you're a thinker, and I'm just assisting you by listening attentively and being very interested. And if we really love someone, we are interested in what they are thinking or feeling or want to say, want to express. Some people say attention is love. Some people say listening is love. And it's true. And in the six loving exchanges by Srila Rupa Goswami, we see out of six exchanges, two have to do with listening. Guyam akyati prichati. So one third has to do with listening. Two have to do with honoring prasadam, and two have to do with exchange of gifts. One, different kinds of gifts, including services. So let me just see. I want to be conscious of time. Okay, sorry. So Guyam akyati prichati means confidential conversations. And if you want to have a confidential conversation, you definitely have to listen very attentively. Mm. So remember, the summary of this kind of service to devotees is given in one sentence. Don't listen to respond, listen to ignite. Ignite means like matches, you start the fire. Or you can say, listen to stimulate better thinking or to stimulate the thinking of other devotees. So by listening attentively, it seems like you are doing nothing, but actually you are acting as a catalyst, as a stimulator or initiator of better thinking. And I have noticed myself when I'm in the presence of devotee who is listening with interest, what I'm saying, then I think better and I get amazing ideas. I don't think I would get these ideas if I would do it alone. But if I'm in the presence of someone, I also try to think very responsibly, in a very focused way, and to think intelligently, and just presence of someone enhances my thinking. So if you love devotees, take time to listen to them or give them time to think in front of you. They can think loudly or they can think silently, but your presence is important. So this is something we were using to help to develop a beautiful mind, and this beautiful mind in these sessions is manifesting by having wonderful inspirations, wonderful ideas in the association of devotees. And this is described in the Bhagavad Gita, machita madgata prana bodayantas parasparam katayantas tamam nityam dushyanti cha ramanti cha. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, the thoughts of my pure devotees are always absorbed in me, and they find great satisfaction by enlightening each other about me, talking about me, enlightening each other. So devotees, this DSP session is inspired by that verse where it's a two-way exchange, and we enlighten each other about our relationship with Krishna, about self-realization, about helping each other. And one principle we have in this group is HEOS, H-E-O-S. I hope I'm not speaking too fast for the translator. So helping each other succeed. Remember this. Never forget this. Helping each other succeed. And in our DSP guide, we have given some beautiful verses from the Shastra from where we got these ideas. Like this idea about helping each other succeed has come from the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, where Prahlad Maharaj says that those who are engaged in devotional service Think of each other's welfare. Think of each other's benefit. In our DSP guide, which you can get, I want to mention again from Bhakti and Alexandra, you can actually see different structures that you can use for these sessions. We are using structure where listening is the main tool, but you can use different other structures. For example, if you have a problem or a goal, then first thing you ask when you work with your success partner is you ask what Srila Prabhupada said about this. And let us research. Let us go to the database. Let us go to the Vanipedia. Let us go to the index of the Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam and research. Find quotes, find statements, find knowledge about it, about this specific topic. And then discuss together how can we apply it and how can we all benefit from this wonderful transcendental knowledge. So it's a wonderful process. You also connect to Srila Prabhupada much stronger. You can, if your Guru Maharaj is writing books, you can do this with also with his Krishna conscious books. So any content you want to learn how to apply, you can discuss with your devotee success partner. You can have japa session, japa success session where you are only discussing how to improve your chanting. Different things. I mean, you can take any topic and discuss together and find quotes that will help you, find guidance from Srila Prabhupada. So basically, we are helping each other to be coached by Srila Prabhupada. He is the Maha coach. He is the best coach. As you can see, I'm trying to make a point that association is extremely important. Association is everything. So if we associate with devotees who are Krishna conscious, who are our benefactors and well-wishers, we can make a wonderful advancement. And now I want to speak a little bit before I tell you one story from American Indians about, I will not tell you about what about it is. It will remain a mystery until I start to speak about it later. So this metaphor of gardener, I also got from Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually described as a gardener. he's planting the seed of bhakti in people's hearts. Although bhakti is already there, but it has to be awakened. But you can say by preaching, you are planting the seed of bhakti everywhere or helping to awaken the bhakti in the heart. And then the devotee is a gardener. By Shravanam Kirtanam, he is watering the plant of bhakti or the creeper of bhakti. And if we see life as a garden or any kind of project as a garden or relationships as a garden, it's a beautiful metaphor. I mean, you can do amazing things if you see yourself as a gardener. So that's why our title is Beautiful Mind Gardeners. And in this time when it's quite intense and, you know, there is attempt of global manipulation with people, the mind can be fearful, the mind can be disturbed. We don't know what is the future. There is a threat of brainwashing people or injecting poisonous vaccine or chip in our body to control us and things like this. So it's very, very important to actually always spiritualize our mind and go back to the Shastra and have a spiritual perception. And Mara Krishna Rakike, Raka Krishna Marike, Krishna wants to kill someone, no one can save him. If Krishna wants to protect someone, no one can kill him. Of course, we cannot experiment and imitate Prahlad Maharaj and think, oh, he was poisoned, but nothing happened. You know, he survived. So let me get 10 vaccines and see if Krishna saves me. Well, we cannot imitate acharyas. We can follow in the footsteps of acharyas. So be careful with this kind of thinking. And another thing related to the mind and developing a beautiful mind is that there are three functions of the mind: thinking, feeling, and willing. Willing means desiring, desires. So we want to spiritualize and beautify all these three functions. And we want to beautify our thinking by making it more spiritual and more positive. So we always want to absorb spiritual content. I have met a person who got a lot of negative, he heard a lot of negative statements about that person during lifetime. Maybe you have his or her lifetime. Maybe you have this experience that they were telling you, you're not good, the teacher, the parents, and like this. And, you know, it becomes like a very much ingrained negative mindset. And it's very difficult. I mean, I'm coaching so many devotees. It's very difficult to get rid of the tendency of the mind to be negative. They call it sometimes inner critic, inner critic. You're bad. You're useless. It will not work. We all know this. We all know this negative internal dialogue. So we consciously work to develop a spiritual internal dialogue and a positive internal dialogue by always filling our mind with spiritual and positive content and associating with devotees who actually also communicate in this way with us, who are supportive, who are encouraging, who see good in us, who are helping us to develop and to improve. And this is where this devotee success partnership is important. We help each other succeed. So, feelings, how do you feel? Now, did you know, maybe this is the first time you hear this kind of statement, but did you know that you can choose what you think, choose how you feel, and choose what you desire? Sometimes people come to me and say, I don't know what to do. What shall I do? And then I say, well, you can choose what you want to do. And then they scratch their head and they say, what do you mean? I mean, I just told you I don't know what to do. I say, but there are some options, so you can choose. You can do this or that. You can do nothing or you can do something. Or you can do this one, this thing or that thing. And then they say, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so I can choose, what can I do? So I explore options and then I choose something. Okay, so and then they get, they're thinking about what they want to do is more easy. It's easier because they, you know, like they see that they have some choices, so they can choose what they can do, what they want to do. So we want to improve the quality of our thinking. Then we want to feel good. Everybody wants to feel good. But it's very difficult to feel good if we are in ignorance. People want to feel good in ignorance because they say ignorance is bliss. But actually, ignorance is bliss maybe in the beginning, but after some time becomes hellish. Becomes great pain. So what can we do to feel good? What the scriptures say, what the professionals say. I would say promoting the idea on my Facebook profile and post that you cannot feel good if there is no love in your heart. You cannot feel good if you're not a loving person, if your heart is free of envy. You cannot feel good. If you're full of hatred, if you, you know, like want to revenge or you feel bad about everything, hopeless and things like that. But we can choose and we can practice to feel grateful. Gratitude is a very powerful way to feel happy practically all the time. Whenever you feel bad, try to make a list, or write something or speak with someone about what you are grateful for, what you are grateful for. And you will see, you will immediately start to feel good. Happiness gladly enters a grateful heart. Happiness doesn't enter ungrateful heart. So Srila Prabhupada recommends gratitude in his teachings, to be grateful for the air we breathe, to be grateful for the sun that is shining, or be grateful for the food we eat, to be grateful for the water we drink, to be grateful for the life we have, especially human form of life is so, so precious. From human form of life, we can elevate ourselves to higher levels of existence, and to the highest level of existence, which is spiritual level, and to engage in eternal devotional service of the Lord. So we can improve this thinking, feeling, and willing. And then there is two other functions of the mind mentioned in the scripture, sankalpa and vikalpa. To have a beautiful mind, you need to train or practice making better choices. Exercise sincerity, demonstrate sincerity, demonstrate intelligence in the moment of choice, especially spiritual intelligence in the moment of choice. So every day when you are choosing how you will spend your time, then try to choose something that is beneficial for you and beneficial for others. Always ask yourself, what is the most valuable use of my time right now? And then do things that are beneficial for you and beneficial for others. Always do something good. Sometimes devotees tell me, I'm lonely. And then sometimes they ask me, you don't seem to be lonely ever. I say, that's true. I never feel lonely. So how do you do that? How do you manage to never feel lonely? Although you are alone most of the time, which is true. Well, I always think, who is the next person I can serve? Who is the next person I can help in some, one way or the other? Who is the next person I can send a gift or send something that will benefit them, words or a picture or a link or something? We were joking about links. You know, some people just send me links. They don't say anything personal. And I was thinking, if links are so important, then we have to have some kind of a proverb about links. So I came up with this. I hope you like it. Think link and you will never sink. Think link and you will never sink. What does that mean? Link is the same word as yoga, connection. So think about your connection with Krishna and you will never sink deep down into the modes of nature. You will never sink into the mode of passion and ignorance. So to have a beautiful mind, the mind has to be in the mode of goodness. To think in the mode of goodness, to feel in the mode of goodness, to desire in the mode of goodness. And to finish this class, and I'm very grateful that you have been present here and listening, I want to tell a story, and then I have little questions around the story. Some of them have heard that story. Okay, I see somebody is posting this qualities of a beautiful mind. Thank you very much. Posting in the chat. That's wonderful. But we also can, Bhakti Alexander can send you personally if you want. If you cannot copy from here for some reason. So, yes, 127 qualities of a beautiful mind. Okay, so let's finish with a story. Once there was a chicken farmer who was also a very enthusiastic mountain climber. In Slovenia, we have most of you were climbing mountains, and I myself, with a group of devotees, we climbed Stožić, the peak of the mountain in Slovenia, which is quite some height. And then we wrote in the, there is a notebook at the top, and we wrote Hare Krishna in that notebook. It was many years ago, in maybe 96, and half of us went all the way up, and half devotees stayed at some level. It was wonderful. So he was an enthusiastic mountain climber, and when he was climbing the mountain, he saw a nest, bird nest, and he saw three large eggs. And he was thinking, wow, I would like to take one egg and put it to my hen house. He had a chicken house or a hen house, and he wanted to bring one egg to the hen house back down in the village. But he was thinking, well, it's not legal, it's not ecological, it's not ethical. Maybe I shouldn't do it. So he went up to the mountain and stayed some, enjoyed the sights and the fresh air there for some time. And then when he was coming back, he couldn't resist. So he took one egg and went back to his village and put this egg in the hen house. And one of the chicken sat on this egg and hatched the egg. And then one creature came out. So the chicken was very proud because this creature looked different than other chicken. But this chicken didn't have a mirror to see how it looks like. So this chicken started thinking, I'm a chicken. This creature started thinking, I'm a chicken, and started living in the chicken and doing things the chicken do, which means pecking around the courtyard with their beak and flopping only a few meters, flying only a few meters around. And continued living like this for many years with an association of chicken. And one day, this creature saw in the sky a beautiful sight of a bird, very elegantly and very, very high, highly. I mean, it's a very great height, flying in the sky, and asked her sister chicken, "What is this? Who is this?" "Oh, this is king of the birds, king of the skies, and we have nothing to do with him. We cannot do these things that this bird is doing." And then the bird said, this creature said, "Oh, okay." But something was touched in his heart when he saw this image of a bird flying like this, flying high, and said, "Okay, well, I'm a chicken." Continued living as a chicken and died as a chicken. So now, normally I would ask people question, but in this case I will not ask a question. I will ask a question, but I will also answer it because we are online like this, so it may be difficult to communicate. So now you can guess, this creature was a bird that can high, fly high, and actually this bird was an eagle, was an eagle. And what she saw is a golden eagle, was a golden eagle. So this creature had a capacity to fly high, to be an eagle, but because of the association of chicken, he or she remained in that understanding that I am a chicken. So therefore, by understanding, by thinking I am a chicken, this creature limited its options and its possibilities to fly high and to have a better life. So as you can see, association is everything, and association influences our mind and our thinking. And therefore, choose carefully with whom you associate. Don't accept blindly, and have a compass for choosing your association by learning from the Bhagavad Gita and other scriptures. What is the saintly person? What is the person with the beautiful mind? And choose your association, and in this way, benefit. And if you want to learn more about devotee success partnership sessions, you can contact me, you can contact Bhakti Alexandra, and we can show you how to do it with your friends, or you can do it with us also sometimes, and to practice. And we have this guide which has Shastric basis for this approach. It has also two of seven purposes of ISKCON that support this approach, and it gives you structures how you can do it. So I hope this will be valuable for you to improve your association with devotees and to develop a beautiful mind. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. And if you have any questions, now you can unmute and ask.
Najlepša hvala, Kruro Prabhu, za to presudovito predavanje. Če ima kdo še kakšno vprašanje, mi lahko napišete osebno v čat ali pa kar še boljše osebno vprašate Akrura Prabuja. Ima kdo vprašanje? Se lahko kar vklopite mikrofon in vprašate.
Unmute.
Ni
Of course,
vprašanj?
if you want to ask me privately, you can write me. You can get from Sabina. You can get my contact details. You can write me. We can speak. We can arrange for time to talk. So I'm available when we agree time. If you want to speak privately, but now if anybody has any questions, you're still welcome to ask.
Torej, če bi ga radi vprašali osebno, lahko dobite kontakt pri meni, drugače pa lahko kar zdaj tukaj v live Zoom.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for inspiring lecture. Could I just please ask? I heard that that to please the devotee is very good for our spiritual life. Could I ask you from your experience how to please the devotee? What is usually pleasing for devotee, and how to get an attitude that we could please the devotees?
There is many ways we can serve devotees. We can please them by serving them in various ways. But one powerful way to help devotees succeed and in this way please them is to listen to them with interest. Srila Rupa Goswami describes six loving exchanges between devotees, which is very pleasing. Dadati pratigrinati guyam akyati prichati bhunkte bojayate chaiva shadvida pritilakshanam. So six loving exchanges amongst devotees are giving gifts, receiving gifts, giving prasadam, accepting prasadam, and confidential conversations, revealing your mind and listening to the other devotee reveal their mind. So these are some of the ways you can please devotees.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
Ima še kdo kakšno drugo vprašanje? To je bil z nami Bhakta Marcel.
Hare Krishna, Iris tukaj. Se čujemo, Akrura Prabhu?
Hare Krishna, Iris.
Hari Bol, hvala za predavanje. Thank you for the lecture. Moram reči, da meni si najbolj autentičen, ko govoriš v maternem jeziku, pa s humorom. Moje vprašanje pa bi bilo, čakaj, zdaj mi je spet ošlo, tam se koncentriram.
Koje pitanje?
Ja, že vprašanje, ne? Pol, ko že nekaj let vadimo bhakti jogo, when we already practice bhakti yoga for some time, maybe we lose enthusiasm, maybe we don't want to be exploit, you know, maybe we notice some devotees like to take service, to put us in their own services. What would you suggest in such cases? Torej, kaj bi priporočal, ko že nekaj časa bhakti jogo vadimo in mogoče opazimo pri nekih bhaktah, da si želijo, da jim služimo. Jaz pa imam mogoče potem občutek, da me izkorišča in vključuje v neke svoje plane, da ekspandira sebe in kaj mi priporoča ob tem. Hvala.
Only one sentence. Give, but don't be naive. Okay?
Hare Krishna. Ja, veš, ker jaz imam
občutek, okay. da moram... Lepša hvala, Krure, probujem, imamo šprane, že ni tulsi prije. Aha, pardon, Iris, kar uprosti, kar dej odgovor. Če imaš kakšno pod vprašanje.
Ta notranji konflikt, ne, da pač kot bakte, jaz poskušam pa vsod videti Krišna. Aha, Krišna tako hoče, ne. Pa povem, ne, in pol je nek notranji konflikt, ker neka zapoved je služi, ne, bakta služi in vedno vidi Krišno, hkrati pa se neko nelagodje pojavi, pa ni nujno samo lažni jaz, no, enostavno tisto se mi zdi, halo, nočem biti izkoriščana. In ta notranji konflikt, ja, mogoče se res lahko reši s tem, maybe this is a good solution, ja, serve, but don't be naive, ne, da vseeno pokažemo neke svoje meje, to show some yes. limits that we have. Still, I'm still in the real body.
Use your intelligence to discriminate. If somebody is exploiting you, then you keep distance. Okay, so thank you very much. We can stop here now. I also okay, have,
we have one more question. We have one more question. Yes. Please, kar prosim vklopi mikrofon.
I already unmuted my phone. Thank you.
Okay, perfect.
Hare Krishna. Akura Prabhu, you spoke about choice, né? That we always have the choice. And so what can we do in order to increase this observer self, you know, so that we can better observe ourselves and be more conscious about having choices, actually?
Well, in my seminars, I usually have a basket of cookies. And when somebody asks such a like a wonderful question, I throw a cookie at them. So I would definitely throw a cookie for this question. Observe ourselves. Yeah, we should learn to observe our thoughts and our feelings and our desires almost like a neutral observer. That's very powerful. That's called self-awareness. And well, we just need to practice this. We need to practice this, then we can get better and better. So you can observe your thoughts, and when you see that you can observe your thoughts, you can choose what you think. That's connected to choosing how we think. So it's a beautiful, wonderful point. Thank you so much. This is a very practical thing. Observe your thoughts, and you can improve them. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, so anything else? What time is it now? So 5:50.
We still have 10 more minutes, so maybe if you can add something or you have some other recommendations for devotees.
I can add that I talk a lot when I give class, practically whole class I'm talking. But... this is what I'm expected to do. But actually, when I talk to you, please don't be afraid I will give you another lecture. When I talk to devotees, I listen between 90 and 95% of the time. And I'm interested in what you think and what you can say. And if you don't believe me, actually, you can arrange a time where we can talk and I will listen to you. That's my service for devotees for the past probably at least several months. I am very consciously trying to increase this as a service, and I see that it can be useful. I want to go back to, if there is no questions, to the point of Prahlad Maharaj, thinking of each other's welfare or helping each other succeed. Think about it. Please think about it and see whom naturally or spontaneously you would like to help succeed. You can start with that. Later, you can maybe expand your desire to help others succeed. So maybe some people you don't even know. But those who are dear to you, How can you help them succeed? Ask yourself this question. And in this way, we can build very caring communities. Sachinanda Maharaj wrote about communities of care very nicely. So, one article. So we want to think, actually, in the purport to the verse in the 17th chapter of the Gita, Srila Prabhupada says that how to engage the mind, and that's also beautiful mind, thinking of the welfare of others and also thinking of the content in the Vedic literature, like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, these two things we can think about much more than we usually do. And in this way, we can improve, we can actually make our mind more beautiful. So thank you very much, everyone, for listening. And please don't hesitate to contact me if you think I can serve you or support you in any way. Although I'm geographically far away, but I'm available online, and I'm looking forward to coming to Slovenia as soon as possible. Yes, please, you're very welcome to contact me, and I'm here to assist you on your spiritual journey.
Thank you very much, Akrur Prabhu, for this really inspirational lecture. I really loved the story that you spoke about how we can see each other like messiahs and not experience each other as he said, she said, and have you heard, and you know, but just really experience the person and try to serve them in the best possible way and really stay present in this moment now. Thank you so much.